Welcome to MC
Who?
The official podcast of the unofficial movies of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. My name is best cousin in the world, Justin.
And I just met him for the first time, Andy.
And if you love comics, if you love movies, or even if you just love
using toilet paper for tissues,
then this show is for you. Oh, poor Andy. Are you sniffly, buddy? You having the sniffles?
Just a little bit. It's a sniffly morning.
You don't have tissues, huh? You just use the old TP.
It's convenient, you know?
Hey,
it's right there. It's easily accessible.
We've all been there. Sometimes I have tissues and I still go for toilet paper because I'm like, well, it's not a lot up in my nosy, so I just want to, like, you know, blow just a little bit. I don't want to waste a whole tissue. Those are more expensive.
Of course. And it's so much better to, like, get multiple uses out of a single household appliance. Not that I will use it for one thing and then the same sheet for another thing. Don't get that idea, Justin.
Yeah, I would never get that idea. Speaking of ideas, how about we bring on our guest?
Great idea.
Hey, so as I said before, I am a good cousin. This guest is my dear cousin, Matt Barron. Matt, what's up?
Hello.
How's it going?
It's going good.
It's going good. Do you use tissues or toilet paper to blow your nose?
Yeah, whatever's closest, really.
Yes.
I do have tissues in the house, but like you said, toilet paper is just as good sometimes. So
just as good, if not better.
Sometimes you don't have the time, right? You don't have the time to get to where you need to go.
That's right.
Yeah, sometimes the sniffles are just too strong.
Mm-hmm.
Strong sniffles. This episode is brought to you by allergies. So, Matt, how you doing, man? Matt, he's my cousin. I had nothing else to say.
That is his only personal identification.
It's just my cousin. I know nothing else about him. Matt, you've listened to the podcast before, so you kind of know how we do things here. But let me start off by just asking you a little bit about yourself. What do you do? What are you up to right now? How's quarantine stuff going for you?
It's going pretty well. Currently, I am at home because I don't work on the weekends. But during the week, I am a preschool teacher at the Jewish Community Center. So that's what I've been doing for the past 5 years.
Nice.
And I really enjoy it.
Yes.
Nice. The J, the good old J.
So you know all about the best way to get sniffles out then. I mean,
preschoolers?
I like to think I do, but
because they're just like sniffle machines. They're just little snot buckets, and I love them.
Yeah, I mean, you can't really do much about it. You just kind of have to let it
flow.
Yeah.
Let it flow. That's the other answer. Is you don't blow it at all. You just let it go. Let it flow. Matt.
Rejected frozen ideas. Let it flow.
Let it flow. Let it flow. Let the snot drip down your face.
I said it was rejected, Justin.
Oh, sorry. I thought we were going to go down that rabbit hole. Matt, have you ever read a comic book?
I have. I haven't read one in a while, but I used to read some of the ones that you had.
Yes.
But mostly I just watch movies and shows.
Yes.
I'm not the biggest comic book reader, so.
Right. And that's okay. We accept nerds of all kind here.
I mean, I'm in the same boat there, Matt. That's fine.
It's very true.
Not that I wouldn't. It's just like it's not always something that I think of to do, but.
Totally. You're actually both in the same boat also because I have given you the exact same comics to read at different points in life.
The Justin Library.
Yeah.
Yes.
Matt, do you have a favorite Marvel character?
Growing up, it was probably Human Torch.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I collected all the action figures, and I think it was because Fantastic Four, as much as it probably wasn't the greatest movie, was the first like Marvel movie that I saw.
Yes.
And it's ironic because you know, I think Captain America now is probably my favorite, and they're played by the same people.
So, that's so true.
But yeah, I think I think now Captain America and Spider-Man's like a close second.
Yeah.
Just because of everything that's been coming out with, you know, the new Tom Holland movies and Into the Spider-Verse and the amazing video game that came out not too long ago. It's just all been really, really cool. So, but I think Captain America is probably my number one right now.
Yeah, there's been a spider renaissance of late.
Yeah. It has. Yeah. Yeah. We Baron boys are similar stock, I think. That's pretty similar to a lot of what I had. Matt and I used to collect Marvel Legends action figures together growing up. So we would buy like a 4-pack of like some special ones, and then he would take like the Human Torch characters and I would take anybody else. But yeah, awesome. Okay, I think we know enough. We know enough, Matthew. I think it's time to stop and roll that die.
Ooh, so yeah,
go ahead and roll the die, and I'm gonna screen share here with you the list, and we will see what we do.
I am rolling in 3, 2, 1. 19.
Ooh, good roll.
All right, I'm gonna screen share here. Can you see it?
I can see it.
All right, Matt, go ahead and tell us who we have number 19.
We have Echo.
Echo. Uh-oh.
That's very exciting.
Okay, first reaction, Andy.
Yeah, so when I was younger, I had a Sega Genesis, and one of the first games I had for it was Echo the Dolphin. And so I think that this superhero is just straight up Echo the Dolphin from Sega Genesis.
Yes, of course, the infamous Marvel Sega crossover. Matt, first reaction?
My first reaction, going off of Andy, I think it'd be hilarious if last week you guys had a lobster and now we have a dolphin.
Yes.
That'd be perfect.
But I don't know. I'm thinking kind of maybe like a Black Canary character, maybe, where it's like something with their voice. Yeah. I'm not too sure. I've never heard of Echo before, so excited to see who it is.
That's fantastic. You're both wrong, but I love both those options. We will. I'm gonna go educate these fools on Echo, a fantastic character. I'm very excited, and we'll be right back. And we're back with Echo, fascinating character. We're going to do a quick one-minute rundown. Not a dolphin, unfortunately.
Not a dolphin.
But who knows? Maybe there's a dolphin that makes an appearance here. Okay, one-minute rundown. And start the clock. Tell me when, Andy.
Go.
First appearance, Daredevil number 9 in 1999. Echo's real name is Maya Lopez. She is Native American and deaf. Two things that we don't see a lot of in comic books. So that's pretty pretty cool, minority. Her father is Willie Crazy Horse Lincoln, but he is killed when she's young by the Kingpin, Wilson Fisk, as a dying wish. Kingpin accepts the dying wish of Willie Lincoln and decides to raise Maya Lopez as his own daughter. She is, from an early age, believed to be mentally disabled, and so she's put in a special school. She ends up actually becoming a fantastic artist and a genius level woman, a concert level pianist, ballerina. She has photographic reflexes, very much like Taskmaster, if anybody's familiar with that, where she can basically interpret what her opponent is doing after watching their moves.
Like 10 seconds left.
Okay, and then finally, she becomes a weapon for the Kingpin, who manipulates her into going after Daredevil and trying to do shit there. That's basically where we can end there, because the rest of that we'll talk about in our story. So yeah, what did I miss, guys? Anything important?
No, I think you hit pretty much the main points, and then kind of stems down from there. But
yeah,
it's interesting.
She's actually a really cool character who I think we got to figure out a way to make her stand on her own. So she's never actually, I might be wrong here, but I don't think she's ever actually been given her own title in Marvel Comics.
That being the case.
She's more of like a supporting character for Daredevil most of the time. And for a while, she's also a part of the New Avengers as Ronin. For anybody who had seen Avengers Endgame, you know, Hawkeye takes on the mantra of the mantle, sure, of Ronin, kind of a darker take on the character. That Ronin character in the comics gets handed around to a few different people, including Matt Murdock, Daredevil, and also Maya Lopez, Echo. So I think, okay, we got to kind of talk about some big things here. I think the first one is, if we're going to have Maya stand on her own, do we include Daredevil in this movie? Because Daredevil hasn't been in a Marvel movie. Let me rephrase that, in an MCU movie. Of course, there was the Ben Affleck Daredevil, which,
of course,
as a child, I loved. And then as I grew, I saw its issues. Daredevil also has his own show on Netflix, and although it's been canceled, that technically is still a part of the MCU. What do we think?
I think that it should be a part of it, but it should be a very small part of the movie. I think it'd be a cool, like, it could be a cameo of maybe that's how they bring him back into the MCU, or
a nod.
Yeah. Maybe it could be like the end credit, or it could be just, like I said, like a main part of the movie, not a main part, but like a, like maybe the part where she fights him.
Yeah.
And then that's it. You know, you don't see him for the rest of the movie, or.
Right. It's our little aside to kind of the bigger picture of the MCU.
Yeah. Andy? Well, she does have that photographic reflex where she's able to learn skills. And one of the ways that she did that was watching like tape, essentially watching video of Daredevil and I think it was Bullseye as well fighting. So that could be a way that we can work it in. Like if she's going through a training montage, she's like watching tape. Yeah. It's like, oh, there's Daredevil on the video screen.
Well, and that's also interesting because I think we have to keep the fact that she's raised by Kingpin, Wilson Fisk, who survives.
Such a weird thing. Yeah.
Spoilers for Daredevil on Netflix, everybody. Wilson Fisk survives the end of Daredevil. And I think it'd be interesting if he's kind of given like a I guess the question is, how much of Daredevil are we pulling into the, is it like, are we just taking the entirety of the show and saying that's canon?
Is she in Daredevil?
No.
Is Maya Lopez in Daredevil? And where, because we've used Kingpin in our podcast before, right? Where has he left off in our podcast universe?
I believe he was a part of, was he in Black Cat with us? That very first episode that we ever did?
Oh, yes! Wow. He was trying to steal some sort of cat artifact.
Yeah. Was that right? Yeah. So
I think so.
I think it'd be cool if he was, you know, I don't know where this would lie with his timeline, but I think it'd be kind of cool if, like, throughout the movie, he's kind of seen as this, like, father figure to her and is not seen as, like, this bad character, even though we all know that he is. And then maybe towards the end, you know, it kind of becomes more like she kind of realizes that he's been lying to her and all this
stuff. I think it's the kind of thing where we're watching just it's a typical hero origin story, except we know through the lens of it being Kingpin that this is actually like a villain origin story. Mm-hmm. So we're actually watching her grow into becoming a villain, and she doesn't, she's kind of being manipulated by it. I think that's only the first act of the movie, because I think we don't want the female lead of the movie to be manipulated the entire time and to not have her own initiative, of course.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I think that she obviously figures it out, maybe at pretty soon after, which actually brings up the question, how old is she? I'm going to say, I mean, I don't know. That's hard. Early 20s.
Yeah, I think that probably sounds about right. And then, you know, there's that backstory of, you know, is she old enough whenever her father is killed to remember that?
Yeah.
Because that seems like something that if you were old enough.
Yeah, I think that for the movie purpose, I think it'd be cool if she was old enough to remember it. Because then it would make sense of her, you know, make everybody thinking that she has all these issues as a child, but really she just has that, you know, in her head all the time.
Yeah, and I also think, so one thing I didn't mention in the rundown is she doesn't really have like any sort of like special costume or mask or anything like that. Instead, she has, she takes white face paint and puts a handprint over her face as kind of a mask. And she does this because when her father was killed, he reached out to her and with a bloody hand, he touched her face. And so I think in some way this like PTSD or something like that, as that's the thing she remembers, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And maybe we're seeing clips of that from different, like, you know, the more that she kind of learns about Wilson Fisk, the more she starts to kind of piece together the fact that he actually killed her father.
And maybe that's kind of like, because we don't really get any backstory on why he killed her or why he killed him. It just kind of says that he killed, you know, Crazy mm-hmm. Horse or whatever.
That's true. That's true.
And so maybe there's like you said, those flashbacks, maybe there's like a scene where like he touches her face and she kind of has like that flashback to like, you know, that whenever that happened.
Sorry, I'm in this like headspace now because I just played The Last of Us Part 2. And I won't give any spoilers, obviously, for those of you who are still playing it. I recommend it. It's a fantastic game. But I was reading an article that was kind of discussing the daughter syndrome of games. Daughters basically paying for the sins of their father.
Interesting.
And how, you know, it's basically taking away initiative from any story that the daughter might have because they're just spending the whole game or the whole, you know, story basically like doing whatever their father wanted them to do or whatever it is, you know? And so mm-hmm. I've been thinking a lot about that lately, and I think this is a prime example of that. And so as much as I like tying things in to the Willie Lincoln story, I'm also kind of interested in, like, I mean, I don't want this whole movie to be about Maya trying to, like, I don't know, make up for her father's sins / like choose between the two men in her life, between her, like, you know, or not two men in her life, but rather her two father figure, like her birth father versus her like adopted father or whatever.
Adoptive father, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I just want there to be something more for her. I don't know.
And then, well, if that's like you said, that could be like a very small part of the movie. Maybe like the very, like you said, the first act is just very, she's conflicted. She doesn't know what to believe. Because then it says that she goes soul searching and she goes to like Japan or whatever,
right,
somewhere where she, you know, she's trying to just find herself. And she meets
Is that where she kind of takes on the Ronin persona?
It's yeah, kind of yes. Wolverine. She ends up kind of like hanging out with Wolverine, and he helps her because she goes on a vision quest. Because remember, she is Native American, so she she actually goes back to her father's friend, who's like the chief of a tribe, and it's unnamed for the record. We never actually get like the, at least I we couldn't find the official.
Yeah, tribe
of what tribe of Native American she comes from. But
it's left very vague in the writing.
It's very vague. but she goes on basically a vision quest, to get over the fact that, she was manipulated by her father figure. One thing I didn't mention earlier too was that she's sent by Kingpin to kill to just like manipulate Matt Murdock, and she ends up falling in love with Matt Murdock, and then she's sent to kill Daredevil, but then she finds out it's Matt Murdock and she doesn't, and that's a whole thing. And again, I feel like I don't really think that that's necessary for this movie, but I would be interested in like, what is the thing? So let's just kind of get into the story here, and we'll figure this rest out as we go. So we see her growing up. She's a brilliant young girl. She is. She catches on so quickly, but she's also very like quiet. And she's fighting PTSD. Nobody really knows that. So she's, of course, kind of put into, like, special classes. And, of course, Wilson Fisk, we'll figure out how, like, what's happened with him post-Daredevil, the show. I don't know. Later, maybe. For now, let's just say Wilson Fisk is Wilson Fisk.
Doing his Kingpin stuff.
Well, okay, hang on. Pause. Because even pause. If... Even if, so taking the Daredevil show into account, she would be a young girl. So this would be a long time ago. This would be before Matt Murdock even entered the scene. So Wilson Fisk has a secret daughter off in some boarding school that he goes and visits basically.
This whole time.
Right? Throughout all of what we're seeing in Daredevil. And so... Yeah, I'm down with the idea that she's maybe we take Wilson Fisk out of the equation a bit. So she's been trained through him, by him, almost in a Black Widow sense, to be to be kind of like his personal assassin in a way, or something along those lines. It's kind of Elektra. Now that I'm saying it out loud, although everything about Echo is pretty much just copied off of Elektra, which I don't like. God, this is going in circles. Any ideas?
Well, here's the thing. Yeah, I think we have to admit is that the character as originally written is, is a secondary character.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And what we have to do if we want to give her a standalone is to provide her with a little bit more agency, to provide her with a little bit more personal objective.
Yes.
And those are things that we're just going to have to make up because they were not written in for her originally.
Right. Yes, you're right. And I'm trying not to copy the other, like, I feel like I'm trying to stay away from Black Widow type stuff. Okay, so what if
sorry, just to throw something out there, is it possible that this is almost a villain origin story in a way? Because I know that she kind of walks the line a little bit, and if it's someone who is, you know, MCU definitely needs more badass villains, I think at least, and it could be possible that this is the movie about her not only overthrowing Kingpin and kind of rebelling against him, but also taking his place.
I like that idea. Maybe like, if we're going down the villain route, maybe she, you know, fill in the spots that we're where up until maybe like the end is when, you know, she meets, like maybe there's like a little scene where she like first meets Matt, and then that's kind of like how his story starts. And then in his movie, she's the villain, you know?
Oh, that'd be cool.
And it kind of goes like that, even though that's kind of the Elektra thing. I think that'd be cool.
It is, but and Elektra was introduced in the Daredevil show, but I do think there's too many similarities that we're not gonna be able to get away from all of them. And I would be definitely be interested in her taking over her father's empire after he is arrested at the end of Daredevil, right? That sounds pretty cool to me. And you know, I don't know how full villain she goes, but I think,
that also be kind of leading into her, you know, wanting to go after Daredevil because he's the one that put Fisk away. And so maybe, you know, that's kind of, enraging her to be this villain of sorts.
Yes. Yes. And I think, at one point in the movie, we see her like watching, like Andy said, the footage of Daredevil and Bullseye's fight in the penthouse. Cause of course there's cameras and stuff there. And so she gets like access to that stuff. And so she's like watching all of that. I like that. So, okay. I think that's a good place. I think that's a good direction to head, is this whole time we kind of think that we're watching this like tortured kind of, or like rather anti-hero esque character. But in the end, instead of she has like a decision at one point to go more hero, and instead she turns more villain. And that's not to say that down the road she can't switch back again. But I think it's a redeeming story in a way. But first she's got to go a little Kylo Ren and make some villainous choices.
Kind of like Nebula of sorts.
Yeah, like Nebula. That's pretty good. So, okay. The question is, who is her big rival in this movie? Who is the person that she's got to fight time and time again? Or
can it be Elektra?
Oh, yes. That's great, Andy. Yeah, that's so smart. Why didn't I think of that? So we've established Elektra. Technically she's... Spoilers for Netflix Daredevil. Technically Elektra's dead.
They all come back.
That's true. And she does... I think she's like the vessel of some... I don't remember what it was, but...
It says that in the what we read, it says that Maya came back the same way that Elektra came back. Elektra killed her, and then the hand resurrected her the same way that they resurrected Elektra.
Not to mention, this could be before she takes over her father's empire. So this could be while she's still in training, she's off on her own. We have Wilson Fisk in the background doing stuff and whatnot. But this is her and Elektra are both like younger-ish. So they're only like, we'll say like 19, 20-ish. They're about the same age, I guess. Okay, I like that. So here we go. So we have Kingpin. We get our first scene of Stormy Night. You know, Willie Lincoln is talking to Wilson Fisk. Things go wrong, and we hear, you know, gunshot or whatever it is, and, you know, we hear a baby cry, or like a toddler cry or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
And then Wilson Fisk is holding, you know, the child or whatever. Maybe we hear the last wish of Willie Lincoln, or maybe we save that for the end. I don't know.
Then the hand comes on her face.
Right,
and
right.
And then the Marvel thing pops up.
Yeah, so we just see this toddler with like a bloody hand print, and then Wilson Fisk, like one of the biggest bad guys, you know, picks her up and holds her and like says like, you know, something really sinister to her, like, and then, you know, like a little Marvel thing comes up. I like that. And then we have okay, so then after
if you're an ounce of the fighter your father is, you're going to come in handy.
What a dick thing to say to a baby. Okay, so then we have Maya. Maybe just, I don't know, do we have like a do we do quick scene of her having trouble going home, you know, having trouble in school or whatever, and then Wilson Fisk like puts her into the thing, and then we have like a little montage of her growing up, or do we just skip all that and just start with her already at the private school?
Something that might be interesting is to, right after whatever the title card is, jumping right into like providing the audience with her perspective. So cut out sound entirely, and it's just like her life from her perspective, just the visuals.
And maybe she's like sitting at her desk and, you know, she's just kind of looking around, and you can see that some people are kind of like, what's up with this girl? You know, like maybe her teacher's trying to talk to her and using like sign language or something.
Is she born deaf or is she deafened by something?
I believe that's unclear.
Maybe she becomes, maybe she becomes deaf from the gunshot.
Yeah, yeah.
That kills her father.
Could that deafen somebody? I don't know.
Maybe don't know. A baby.
Maybe a baby, yeah.
It could, it's, yeah, if close it ruptured enough. Her eardrums.
So then what if, I mean, and what if we're seeing all of it from her perspective, from even the opening card, the opening titles?
Oh, that's true. She could everything. Be like...
And yeah. We're hearing the conversation, like, muffled and whatnot, and then she runs out of the closet, and gunshot, and, you know, everything then, goes, like, you know,
ringing,
like, and
ringing, then, yeah.
And then we see the shot of Kingpin picking her up, but it's, we see his mouth moving, but we can't hear what he's saying.
Mm-hmm.
And we hear that later, maybe, I don't know. Anyway, so then, yeah, so I like that. Like, kind of our whole opening is silent through her eyes. And we're just kind of telling the story of her having trouble in school because people aren't helping, guiding her the way that she needs to be guided.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, excelling in other areas and whatever. And she's, you know, we just see her going crazy on piano, but it's completely silent for us. But she turns around and... like everyone's like shocked and whatnot and
awestruck and, faces.
And, yeah, yeah. And we see her like on the playground and she's
just observing people, not really like talking to anybody.
She watches like some bully like pushes her down and then goes and like does some cool things on the monkey bars and she just watches.
Do the flips.
And then she hops up and does the exact same thing and everybody's like, whoa. So, yeah, just stuff like that. Ballerina classes, ballet classes, I guess is what they're called. Ballet classes. Same thing. She just, like, nails, like, a, I don't know, like a triple pirouette, you know, as a child. And we're like, what? Oh, my God. Like, how? So then we get to the point of...
then maybe, like, after... maybe, like, after school... you know, it's not Fisk himself, but maybe like a like not a limo, but maybe like a car comes by that says like Fisk. I don't know. Is it like Fisk Industries or?
I like the idea actually that she has some sort of like caretaker, some sort of
like a surrogate caretaker
who kind of always like that's her real parent figure. So like, is there like a woman maybe who's like her, I don't know, her.
Like
bodyguard
Fisk, but...
slash like yeah her like Fisk has hired this woman to look after Maya for him secretly because she's also I think like his secret daughter. He's keeping her out of like the limelight and whatnot. So yeah, I like that idea.
Is it possible that it's Vanessa Fisk?
Yes, it is. The problem is, so Vanessa's in the Daredevil show and Kingpin doesn't meet her until like the show starts. So it wouldn't make sense for her to be, but she could totally be like, we could introduce her at the end of the movie
Or does she, also, Matt, does is she it die? Possible? Well, no, I don't know.
She gets away. Remember, she's on the.
She does get away.
She's on the airplane with one of the guys that Fisk is like, "You need to get her out of here." And I think they get away. I don't think she gets arrested with them.
I think that wasn't that the end of season two though, and then in season three, like she comes back. I don't remember.
My lack of Daredevil knowledge is really hindering us this
well,
episode.
Well, listen, it was a while ago that we watched that show.
Yeah. I'm not too sure if she gets arrested with them or not now that you say that, because I think she does come back. Because, like, he sends her away, and then she's like, no, take me back. Like, I'm ordering you to take me back. Or
whatever. Well, regardless, even though she's not the caretaker, I think we create a new character as the kind of the surrogate mother. But I do think Vanessa could, towards the end of the movie, when Maya is like ready to take over her father's empire or whatever it is, I think Vanessa could possibly be either like a counselor in that, like a you know, an advisor, or she's competition, you know, because she technically knew nothing about Maya.
Yeah, maybe that's how Fisk like introduces her to Vanessa, you know, like as he's getting arrested or something, he's like get in contact with Maya Lopez or whatever, you know, she's my daughter or whatever, you know.
Yes.
She's like
my daughter or whatever. We've been married for like years now, but I didn't tell you. Okay.
I have a secret daughter that I adopted from a guy I killed.
So we have this woman, and I guess, let me ask you this, like, what does this woman represent for Maya? Because she's only ever really, she's never really had like love in her life.
Maybe this woman isn't the nicest to her. Maybe she like, she takes care of her to a sense, but maybe she's not as accepting either as maybe Fisk would be, or and I think that also drives her more to the anger and villainous side of herself. It just seems, because it's like, it just seems like everybody that she's you know, everybody that she comes in contact with just doesn't really understand her, like
I could even see. Yeah, I was gonna say, I could even see like this caretaker almost being an oasis in everything else that's going on in her life, and then maybe even something, I don't know, a tragedy occurs that kind of drives her
or
more into the darkness.
Yeah. Or maybe like Andy said, you know, if Elektra is the main villain or her, you know, antagonist in this movie, maybe, you know, on the other end, maybe the mom is like, you know, the one thing in her life that is, you know, precious to her.
Yeah.
And, you know, we start to care about the character, and, you know, she's very caring towards Maya, and then maybe like Elektra kills her or something. And
yes.
Then that's how Maya, you know, gets this.
I definitely think that's the direction to go. I think we need that Uncle Ben aspect, that something that propels her farther. Like that's what propels her into true like vigilantism. You know, is we need to send her down darker. So this woman, let's give her a name. I'm going to say her name is Consuela. her name is I don't know, what's a good like motherly name?
She can be Karen.
Karen.
That is a loaded name.
I don't know. Is it too much to have her be Native American too, so that maybe she relates to her a little bit more? Or
it's not.
And I mean, she doesn't have to be, you know, like.
No, for sure. I was almost like, thinking, what if she was like Japanese, and then that could tie Maya into going to Japan in a way, and like honoring her like mother figure in that way. Kind of like going and getting to kind of like because her. Here's the thing. I think this woman is not just like like a surrogate mother, in the way that like Fisk hired her to like be a nanny or something like that. I think she's also like, of course, like everybody that Fisk hires, a badass kind of warrior or like person with a past. So if this woman has some sort of, you know, skills and whatnot that that she had learned from like some sort of martial arts training in Japan, perhaps after Maya loses her, she goes to Japan and she takes up that same training and whatnot. Something like that. Andy?
I just did a quick Google search, and there is a Japanese name that means binding love and affection, which I think is kind of appropriate to the situation.
Yes, please.
And the name is Yua. Y-U-A.
Yua.
If I'm pronouncing that correctly.
Okay, I think that's it. I think we've nailed it there. So Yua is her, what do we call it? We'll call her her guardian.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yua's her guardian. You know, we get a lot of tough love, I think, from her in the beginning. I don't think Yua's ever like a sappy, like, you know, kind of kiss the boo-boo kind of, you know, parent. She's tough love for sure, but I think they warm up to each other, as Maya grows. And then we have, maybe it's not, let's see, if Maya's a little younger, then perhaps Electra. So something has to happen here. So we need some sort of...
But what I was thinking was, okay, so Yua is from Japan, right? Or Japanese.
Yes.
And then the, you know, Electra, doesn't the hand kind of like brainwash her or manipulate her?
Yes, they do.
So maybe Yua's past is tied with the hand.
Of course. God,
and
this
so,
is great.
And so then, you know, they send Electra after Yua or whatever, and she ends up killing her.
Yes. And then cracked the code.
and then Maya goes over to Japan, not only to, you know, like find herself and for Yua, but also she confronts.
She's gonna hunt the hand.
There.
Yeah, yeah. Yes, I love that. I love that. So that's fantastic. Okay. So where are they at currently? Where is she like going to school and all that stuff? Like she's like in some private academy.
So she's in like Hell's Kitchen, kind of, right? That would be where she would be going to.
I feel like that would be too close to Wilson Fisk.
Okay.
I think she's from.
Could
like,
she be upstate?
She's from there, maybe. She's either like upstate at some academy, or maybe she's like in London or something like that, or Paris at some like you know, because I mean, she's like learning like classic
that's true.
Arts. I could see her at some like.
Plus, Kingpin would want maybe her to be as far away as possible to
his
base of operations.
Exactly. Yeah.
I think somewhere in Europe would be a cool, maybe like London somewhere.
Yeah.
I think that's great.
Yeah.
So let's say, okay, so she's in London, I like Paris. Let's go with Paris.
Let's do it.
Let's go with Paris. It seems like one step higher on the classy scale.
Whoa, call that's, out Londoners.
Now let me say that's nothing. This is actually me more calling out Parisians, because I think Londoners are more grounded and
call out Parisianers.
That's what I'm saying. So I'm calling out Parisians. anyway. Okay, so Maya is in school there, and at some point, she just had a big fight with Yua. Like, you don't understand me, you know, that kind of thing. Like, they're having this, like sign language, intense sign language fight. And I think Yua she says something that truly hurts Yua, because Yua has actually grown to care for her, grown to love her and everything. Mm-hmm. And she ends up saying something like, you're just like a hired hand, or like, you're not like, you're getting paid to love me, or something like that.
Dang.
And Maya walks away and goes and like, you know, I don't know, smokes weed or whatever she does. And, And then Yua is attacked by Electra, right? This young woman, not too much older than Maya, comes and attacks her. And we get, you know, boom, 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 boom. Maya arrives. Of course, Maya, you know, doesn't know what's happening, of course, because she's upstairs in her room and it's like she can't hear, of course, what's happening.
Oh, yeah.
So,
wow.
I think she comes down just in time to see Electra like leap out the window and there on the ground stabbed.
So she still knows who did it, yeah.
Yeah.
Is Yua. And then, you know, she like begs Yua for forgiveness and she like doesn't want her to leave, you know, she's alone. This is the only like care she's ever felt. And then Yua says something very sentimental, something very like something that's going to carry on through the rest of Echo's story. Like
maybe she puts her hand on her face, you know?
And it triggers
something. Yeah. She says something that like,
That's great. And then that kind of triggers like a quick flashback, to when she was a baby and her father did the same thing. And she's like, what the hell was that? But yeah. Yua says something about like loving yourself, something about, it's gotta be something that is going to reflect the villain story that she like, something that's going to bring her back from the dark side later. I don't know what it is. That's for us in the future to decide.
It's a future us problem.
I think after this scene, you know, she has to dive deeper into who Yua really was. You know, like, because she doesn't really know except for the fact that she's been taking care of her this whole time.
Exactly.
She's like, why did this person come in and just, you know, yada, yada.
Yeah.
So maybe there's like a scene where she's... You know,
for sure.
Going through Yua's stuff and finds out that she was part of the hand or something, you know?
Yes. So I think she just like leaves, you know, she goes through Yua's stuff. She's so smart. She puts the pieces together and she understands that, okay, there's some secret like Japanese organization called the Hand. Or I don't know that they're exclusively Japanese, but anyway, there's an organization called
The
Hand.
They're based there, yeah.
They are, okay. And this has something to do with that. So she just up and leaves. She goes to find the Hand. She doesn't go to, like, because she knows that if Fisk finds out, he's just going to whisk her away to some other school. She doesn't need school anymore. She's a fucking genius. and so she just... Yeah, I think we find her in Japan in the next scene, and she's kind of on her own and making her way through, and it's hard. And I think that we have like moments where she's trying to deal with like, you know, being on her own for the first time. I think
she's in a different country where she doesn't really understand the language. You know, it's
right.
It's,
yeah,
she, you know, she's having all this trouble.
Well, what's interesting is I read in one of her abilities is that she does learn the language incredibly fast.
Yes.
Like, so she encounters it written, then she learns it.
Perfect example of that, you know, and we see that she has like some sort of like Japanese like language book, you know, like a tourist would have, but she's just like flipping through it and then on the plane or something like that.
Yeah, she learns it before she even gets there, kind of thing.
Reading through Rick Steves' Japan.
Yeah, exactly.
And I like the idea that, you know, her sole reason to go is because of vengeance. You know, she wants payback for what happened to Yua. That's the one thing on her mind. But I think that it's once she gets there and is kind of there should be something that happens that kind of triggers, like, I need to kind of figure out who I want to be. Other than, you know, and that's how she does her like vision quest or something, you know.
Yeah, for sure. No, I love that. I think she learns much more. Yeah, I like that. I like that she's kind of, we have like our whole kind of act, whatever, three, I guess it would be, is her in Japan studying martial arts, studying new languages and just growing into a woman. So maybe she's there for like 2 years, you know, we kind of see time passing from like, she's 18 years old to like being 20 years old. And, you know, she knows that Fisk is looking for her. So she's kind of like staying low and keeping quiet and everything. Cause she knows that if Fisk finds her, Fisk, I think she has memory. Maybe we kind of have these memories of her childhood as we go, where, you know, we see Fisk,
and maybe he's scared that she'll find out too much. You know, maybe he had secrets in the hand or whatever, you know. And that's also a reason why he doesn't want her to be on her own, kind of thing.
Right. Okay, so she's trying to, like, kind of keep to herself, train, grow, and also find the hand. So that's kind of a montage of what's happening there for 2 years. And then towards the end of Act 3, I think we get some sort of encounter, right, with some hand members. And she finally kind of hunted some of them down. So then we get a cool badass scene where she actually takes them out.
And we see like she's learning how to fight them as she fights them.
Yes,
Their own moves against them.
And the hand are all trained the same, of course. So, I mean, that's kind of the point of the hand, is that they're all just kind of like clones of each other in a way. So, she's like, we see her like miss the first time and she gets like, you know, punched pretty hard in the face. And then we see her do like the same thing happens again from another angle. And she like flips around it this time. And so, yeah, we just kind of see her progressing and learning, with her photographic reflexes. She takes out the hand members. Of course, they are never going to give anything away. So even though she leaves one alive to, like, you know, whatever, they, I guess, die anyway. That's the thing about the hand, is that, like, they're not real people. They're like spirit people. It's like a weird ghost. Like, they're made of like ash or something. I don't know, man.
Oh, so they just disintegrate?
Yeah, it's like they're like,
all right,
I don't know if I'm remembering it right. Maybe I'm not. I think they're different in the comics than they are in the show. I guess for now, let's say I think it makes more sense. Let's say instead of these dust entities, what if let's just say they're real people who are trained, these assassins, and that would make it easier. Them. Yeah, that way, yeah, she's not killing yet, I think. So she incapacitates them. She, like, you know, tries to interrogate them. I don't know. Do they give her the location and then we go? That would progress the story, right? Otherwise, she just has to do it on her own somehow or find some help somewhere. I think at this point in the movie, she's got to get the location.
Yeah, maybe she does leave one on her, like one that does retreat, and she like tails. She follows that person back to wherever.
Sure, yeah, that's pretty cool. And we kind of see her like jumping the rooftops in Japan. Tracking and tracing and all that kind of stuff. I like that. And then we get back to like some sort of warehouse. And I think she just jumps right in and starts, we go into an even bigger battle. But perhaps this time she's a little in over her head and she gets captured. So then our act four is she's captured by the hand and she's getting tortured maybe, or, you know, something along those lines. Maybe not like full on torture, but definitely like, you know, being, I don't know. Mm-hmm. She's
because,
a prisoner.
Like the hand is the hand in competition with Fisk? Like as far as syndicates go?
Yeah. Yeah. That for sure.
And so then maybe like the hand has intel and they know that Maya is a connection to Kingpin, and so they are they want information about Kingpin from her.
Yeah, I like that. I forget who's running the hand at this point, so we'll just say the big boss, the big boss of the hand. the brain. Jesus. I just got that. So, okay, so we have our big boss there, like, kind of, like, asking her questions or whatever, and then they send word to Wilson Fisk saying, like, we have, you know, this woman, you know, give us, surrender yourself or whatever, or she dies, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So now she's kind of busted. But then maybe Elektra's there too. And she sees Elektra and she recognizes Elektra to be the one who killed Yua. And so this whole time that's happening, and Fisk is basically like we hear Fisk's response, I guess, saying like, I'll be there this afternoon or something like that, to hand myself over, that kind of thing. It's a big ploy, of course. Fisk isn't actually going to do that, but you know, I think he's invested too much in Maya to just say like kill her or whatever. So there's all going to go down this evening, we'll say. Time has passed. She's in prison, or she's in this, like, you know, prison. She gets out, maybe. She escapes by watching, like, the guards closely or something like that. And every, you know, whatever, every little movement, you know, they make. And then she takes her chance. She gets out. She goes after, instead of trying to escape, she goes after Elektra.
Right.
And then we have our big fight scene with her and Elektra, or at least part one of it. And this is all happening like at the same time that the Kingpin is arriving, and I don't know, he arrives, but instead of him, it's like, I don't know, a whole army of his people. So then we have this big battle happening with the Kingpin's forces versus the Hand. And that's happening on the main floor. And then we like, you know, go up into like the catwalk of this big warehouse, and there's Elektra and Maya are fighting. And I think,
is there something that takes place at one point where she realizes that Kingpin like didn't come for any sort of sentimental reasons, or like just there's something that finally breaks,
yeah, I think,
that last connection.
I think there's a moment before she engages with Elektra where she freezes and looks down because they're like, the Kingpin's here. And then he, like, the car drives up or whatever. And she's like, oh my God, he actually came for me. Like, he actually cares about me. This man cares about me. And then, like, the car explodes or something. It was a trap. And then all the other people come in and she's like, okay, maybe not. Like, it's the message that he's not actually coming to save her, right?
Right.
He's not going to come and save her. She,
mm-hmm.
Is that big enough?
Yeah, I think.
Is that clear enough?
And I don't know if we need to necessarily come up with exactly what it is, but just that idea that there's something that takes place where she realizes that, you know, obviously she spends her whole life, you
like
know,
idolizing this guy. And then, you know, he really doesn't care about her the way that she thought he did.
Right. Right. So good. So we have our big battle. I guess this is really act five. I don't know. I lost track of the acts. Screw the acts.
That sounds right.
But big battle. Elektra and Maya are fighting and fighting and fighting. And I think Maya finally gets like the chance to do a killing blow, maybe. And she, like, something about the way that the scene is set up, something about, I don't know what it is, but she has like a flashback in that moment to the Kingpin standing over her father the same way and mm-hmm. killing him, like, you know. And then she sees, like, she can like maybe picture the same thing, Elektra standing over Yua the same way. And so she decides to like break the cycle here and not kill Elektra.
Right.
So Elektra gets away. There's like a look of recognition in their eyes though, I think. Right. And then Elektra gets away and Maya instead, like the fight's pretty much over at this point, maybe. or maybe, and maybe there's something too about Maya recognizing that she has been a puppet for the Kingpin, or she basically could have been. Elektra is just a puppet for the big boss of the Hand.
So a hand puppet.
A hand. Oh my God. And so instead of killing Elektra, she realizes that what she actually, who's responsible for this is the leader of the Hand. So instead, mm-hmm. instead of killing Elektra, she goes and kills the big boss, the big brain of the Hand. And that's kind of our conclusion, I think. And then she has an opportunity to run again, but instead she decides to confront Fisk, right?
And so since, you know, there's so much time that's gone by since she's been in Japan, so maybe in that time, you know, it was the Daredevil seasons, and then when she flies back to confront Fisk, he is already, or maybe she lands and we see something on the TV or like an announcement that he has been arrested and all this. And then, you know, she's already on her way back.
The only thing continuity wise that doesn't make sense is Elektra, because she would be there doing that stuff slash dead at that point. So I think this has to be earlier still. So I think what if instead Maya, you know, is walking out of the warehouse and gets a call from Fisk or something like that. And she answers and he's like, I'm impressed with you. It's finally time to bring you home, that kind of thing. And she's like, no.
Go fuck yourself.
Like, I'm done with you, asshole. Or whatever she says. Yeah. And then she's off on her own. And then undisclosed amount of time passes, right? We see her maybe like 5 years later. She's on her own. She's living in, I don't know, the Canadian wilderness or something.
Mm-hmm.
That's a little.
Maybe that's when she's doing her soul searching.
Yeah, you know, yeah. I think she goes on her vision quest.
We see this little clip of, you know, her like mixing the white paint together and, you know, putting the white face print on her face, kind of resemble that, like, this isn't going to torture me anymore. It's going to be a part of me.
I like that.
She does that. And then that's kind of, you know, the character.
She owns it. She owns her, she owns her pain. She owns her, like, her loss and whatnot. And
that might be actually kind of a cool Fade to Black moment, because it kind of mirrors the title card moment with the red handprint on her face.
Mm-hmm. And then I think the first after credits scene is, we hear, like, as we fade in from black, we're hearing news clippings of Wilson Fisk being arrested after a fight with the Daredevil of Hell's Kitchen and all this stuff. So and then we just see Maya and she's like meditating or something, and she gets a call. I just realized, and this is going to sound really ignorant of me, but how do deaf people talk on the phone? I guess it would be
a video chat.
A video chat?
Yeah, she could read the lips.
Yeah, because it says that she can read lips really well, as long as, you know, that you're not wearing like a Iron Man type helmet, you know?
Sure, yeah. Okay, so it's a video. So we'll just say it's a video chat that she had with Fisk earlier. And this time it's a video chat with a lawyer for Fisk, or is it Vanessa who calls her, or is it Fisk himself from prison? Or I would say it's probably like a lawyer or something like that, or some hand-me-down person, because he wouldn't want to call her from prison, right? And basically saying like, okay, let me ask you this. Do we end with Fisk handing her the Empire? Or is the Empire going to Vanessa, and then she's going to try and like take down the Fisk Empire, just like she took down the Hand Empire? I know we talked about a villain story, and I like that idea, but I think she's more of like a Punisher-esque character who sees people like herself and Elektra being manipulated by these basically powerful men and whatnot, and she is going, like, it's her goal to, like,
take it down,
take yep. all of that down. So I think that's more in line with the movie that we've created. So I think she hears, she doesn't get a phone call, perhaps it's just Wilson Fisk, you know, arrested, yada yada yada, all of his assets going over to Vanessa Fisk, and maybe there's been some inkling of something about this woman being kind of just as corrupt as Wilson, because she is in the show.
And then maybe, yeah. you know, like during that little clip, it, you know, she comes on and she's like, we have put a high bounty on Daredevil, yada, 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 for mm-hmm. What he has done to us and our, you know, our company. And then,
and I don't think it would be, they couldn't do that like over the news, like that wouldn't be yeah. legally okay. But I think maybe instead we, so the after credits is actually, you know, we hear the news of Wilson Fisk, whatever, and we see her, she's on the laptop and everything, and she's like hacking into the king, like into the Wilson Fisk database and everything, and she sees like a, like some sort of company memo. So she gets like, there's some sort of like a contract out that went out to assassins in the air, like in the world or whatever. Saying like,
it's like it's a like bounty a competition. On Daredevil's
head. Okay,
like yeah. a competition within the company to keep morale up. Like, who can kill Daredevil first?
Yeah. So yeah, and then I think we just get this sense that she's going to tear down the Fisk Empire. Yeah, I like that movie, you guys. That's actually that's a awesome. Really. Strong film. I'm actually really, really proud of us. That was cool. I would love that movie.
I've kept like just looking at different websites just to try and find even more information about Echo and her backstory. And I found on one website, and it's marvel.com/characters. So I imagine it's official. Maya Lopez's father, and it says a Cheyenne gangster. So I think Cheyenne is probably the specific tribe, and it appears that he was partners in crime with Kingpin, but maybe yeah. I guess Kingpin betrayed him.
Yeah, that's gotcha. Kind of the sense that I got from what we said.
And then, like, maybe, you know, if in the second movie, you kind of, they dive in deeper into their background and what her dad was really doing. And
definitely, yeah, I like that a lot. Yeah. I like the, you know, the idea that she will pursue more of the vision quest idea of things, and fantastic, guys. That was, I love that movie. So we'll be right back with something featuring our good friend Matt here right after this. We open on our second after credits scene. We see three Fisk henchmen sitting in a break room chatting.
Hey, did you guys see that memo going around where, like, if we're the ones to kill Daredevil, we get an extra week PTO? Like,
hey, that's what's pretty that? Amazing. No, I don't read the emails. They always go to my spam. Hang on, I'm checking. Holy shit, that's a lot of money.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, hand me that donut.
Oh,
there you go.
Yeah, I got you.
Oh, got that. Ooh, two donuts. Thank you.
There's only two left. So, no shit. Daredevil. Which one is that again? Is that the one with the tights?
I think it's the blind guy.
The blind guy. He's got red. He wears a lot of red.
Wait. Daredevil cannot be blind. That man does not fight like a blind man. I fought a blind man, my uncle. He's a crazy ass.
Ronnie and Ricky went down there to fight him one day, and I haven't seen him since.
Ronnie and Ricky. I was wondering where those two yuckos went.
Yeah, we had a memorial for them.
I saved them two donuts here, and they haven't come back.
Did I miss the memorial, too? I got to start reading my emails. Oh, man.
I'm pretty sure they sent them to you. You got to check your spam.
I do. Hey. You guys hear that rumor? And I'm getting close, real close. Did you hear that rumor?
Yeah.
That the boss has a secret daughter?
What?
A secret daughter.
Why would you keep that a secret?
I don't know. I just heard the rumor.
I don't know.
I think Ronnie or Ricky told me.
children are a blessing. Like, why would you hide that from the world?
You know? I think you're right. You know, Vic.
At least that's my opinion. That's one henchman's opinion.
One henchman's opinion. Well, you could make that two henchmen because I agree. You
can add three to that because I agree too.
Yeah.
There we go.
And children are the future, and my children, I love them dearly, and that's why I work here hard work, doing it for them.
We should send out our own memo, I think, the three of us saying how important children are to us.
Yes. That sounds good.
And we'll make sure it doesn't go to, we'll put in the subject line, not spam.
That's smart, because otherwise it goes to spam. All right, well, I better get back to work, fellas. Nice.
Oh, yeah, we got a lot to do.
Nice chatting.
Nice chatting with you.
Jesus. Yeah, that's the best after credit scene I think anybody's ever seen.
Since, really long.
People are just like waiting in the theaters. They're like, oh, that was it, huh? Okay. Glad I waited for that. Shit. Wow. Okay, cool. Hey, thanks so much for being on, Matthew. Matt.
Yep.
Yes.
And is there anywhere our friends, our listeners can follow you, can check out what you're up to?
Yeah, I'm on Facebook, Matthew Barron. I don't really use too much social media, but Facebook is probably the one that you guys can find me on.
If you guys, if any of you listeners like what you're hearing, just we would love it if you would rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. That goes such a long way in helping us in what we're trying to do here. So just rate, review, share, and subscribe. Until next time.
I'm Andy.
And I'm Justin.
And I'm Justin. And I'm Justin. And I'm Justin.
Oh, my
God. And I'm Justin.
That's good. That was a good one.
It's an echo.
But she still has like that same like sensible abilities and whatnot. Sensible abilities. That's not what I meant.
Heightened senses.
Sensible abilities is like from a Jane Austen novel.
Sense and sensibilities.
Yeah, that's what I said. Shut up.